Some economic context to go with the president's speech last night. I'm David Brancaccio in New York, starting with President Trump in the State of the Union last evening using his version of class analysis in a bid to drive home one of his signature issues.
No issue better illustrates the divide between America's working class and America's political class than illegal immigration.
We can all agree America's working class is not monolithic. It is a diverse group. Marketplace's immigration reporter Andy Euler has been getting views from South Texas. Andy, good morning.
Good morning, David.
What about the president's view here that America's working class ends up paying for immigrants who come here illegally, reducing their jobs and their wages?
Yeah, that claim only works if the president assumes that these jobs that immigrants take are the ones that American citizens would take instead at those same wages. And the majority of studies show that simply isn't the case. Now, there's a lot of debate on both sides, but in fact, many studies show that immigration has a positive effect on the economy, especially in those communities on the border. And many of those folks who live in border towns simply depend on cross-border commerce for their livelihood.
Now, you recently spent a week in South Texas, Rio Grande Valley, a spot where preparations for wall building are already underway. Did you get a sense of what President Trump sees as this working class versus political class divide?
Yeah, I spent basically every day speaking with people at the border about exactly that. And from what I could tell, it simply didn't really seem like a class issue. But instead, the divide seems to be about people who live there on the border. The understanding of the dynamics of how interconnected those people are on both sides and those who don't live there, folks in Washington who just don't necessarily get it. I spoke with so many people in what the president calls the working class, U.S. citizens who live in Mexico and cross the border every day to work in Texas and earn dollars, Mexicans with visas who cross the border every day to work and shop, dual citizens who cross the border into the U.S. and go to school or visit cousins and then return to Mexico for dinner. And almost to a person, they talk about the border as little more than an inconvenient passport check. They think of their neighbors in Mexico as just that, their neighbors, not job stealers or necessarily a drain on the local economy. In fact, they depend on those folks on both sides to support it.
Marketplace's Andy Euler has been listening to views along the border in South Texas. Now to the part where the president touched on a subject linking national security with how the federal government spends money. The subject here is the U.S. withdrawal from the Reagan-era nuclear arms treaty with Russia.
We really have no choice. Perhaps we can negotiate a different agreement, adding China and others. Or perhaps we can't, in which case we will outspend and out-innovate all others by far.
Ian Bremmer is founder of the political risk consultancy, the Eurasia Group. You heard that, Ian? Discuss.
We are right now certainly outspending all others, mostly out innovating them, certainly when you talk about conventional military capabilities. But the transatlantic relationship is getting a lot weaker. And when you talk about unwinding the INF agreement, which looks almost certain to happen, and I don't see us renegotiating a new one anytime soon, the countries that are going to experience the brunt of that are going to be on the European continent. And they're going to increasingly go their own way. You're going to weaken that relationship. Their commitment to NATO itself will be lower. And that obviously makes life a little bit more challenging around the world.
The president did use this phrase last night in this regard, calling for a bold new diplomacy. Maybe that could help fix that with Europe.
Well, there is a bold new diplomacy with North Korea, right? And I mean, it's certainly true that the United States and the North Koreans have broken through in terms of diplomatic engagement. While we don't think they're going to get rid of their nukes, certainly that means that they're less of a hermit kingdom. They're engaging with the South Koreans economically because of that breakthrough. They're engaging with the Chinese more. And, you know, I think the likelihood of war as a consequence and part of the world that's really dangerous has gone down. But bold new diplomacy with the Europeans just means transactionalism. It means that there's less trust, there's less loyalty, and that becomes more expensive. It becomes more expensive when you have to work to convince countries to do what you want every single time on every issue because they're either getting something from you for it or because they're going to get hurt as a consequence.
Ian Bremmer is founder of the Eurasia Group, a global risk consultancy. Ian, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Checking the market screens here, U.S. stock index futures are all down by about a 0.1% or less. London is up slightly.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Slabaugh from Columbus, Indiana. Make Me Smart and Marketplace are two of my favorite shows, both pushing me to think outside of my normal boundaries and making issues important to me that I wouldn't have considered before. I became a marketplace investor because I feel it's important to vote with your dollar for media that makes a difference in the world. To join me as a marketplace investor, donate today in whatever amount works for you at marketplace.org.
General Motors reports on its profits and general financial health today, 2 days after it began thousands of layoffs to prepare for the future, the company says. 4,000 salaried people are being let go, with many more to go, including union jobs. Yet yesterday, GM said it would add 1,000 jobs to build a new heavy-duty Chevy Silverado truck in Michigan. Those pickups are profitable, as Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports.
It's not just the Silverado. Ford announced updates to its Super Duty trucks yesterday. And Ram's got a new heavy-duty truck in the works. Stephanie Brindley at IHS Markit says automakers bring in more money when they sell a pickup than a car.
On a very basic level, think about sort of what goes into a vehicle.
Steel, plastic, glass, carpet for floor mats. It takes more materials to build a truck than a car, but not that much more, she says.
And you're selling it for, in the case of heavy-duty pickup trucks, for $50,000 to $70,000.
Also keeping prices up is a lack of foreign competition.
Nobody else in the world really makes pickup trucks like this.
Navigant Research's Sam Abual-Samad. Plus, he says both businesses and consumers are buying pickups in this economy.
Gas is cheap and interest rates are fairly low so that they can get relatively affordable loans.
But if gas prices soar or truck-dependent jobs like construction slow, so could the market for heavy-duty pickups. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.